Technology has made it easier to form groups and bust silos in meat space. Now, the challenge is finding the best bang for your hard-earned buck, and there's so many choices. From small boutique hangouts to mega conferences, everybody's use case is served by some new flavor of the day. In this show, we're going to navel-gaze just a bit and see how the modern social nerd can squeeze every last kilobyte of value from the buffet of events available to tech professionals seeking enlightenment. Oh. Welcome once again to another snazzy episode of the Data Nauts podcast. I'm Chris Wall, found on the Twitters at Chris Wall. And joining me today is my good friend and recently sick recovering gentleman, Mr. Ethan Banks.
I don't know if I'm recovering or not. I feel like I've gone from being sick to being sick again. Or is it the same thing slowly letting go? I don't really know. So forgive me if my voice sounds lousy and I sound congested. It's because I am. So today, conferences is what we'll be talking about. And you don't need me to sound good to digest that bit of information.
Absolutely. I'll give you a shout out for a tweet where someone was missing Data Nauts show, basically, because you were near death. You responded that you caught the plague, you nurtured it, you allowed it to free range over your body, and now it's getting bored and going away.
Finally, I'm glad it's getting bored. I thought if I just gave it what it wanted, maybe it would
go away.
You just
wait it out. You don't even try fighting. It's like, you know, do what you want. Maybe that's a tie-in to conferences. I don't know. We'll see if that lead-in works. Like Ethan was alluding to, we're going to talk about conferences and meetups and groups and what's going on out there, because I'm thinking back to even back in the 2000s, 2003, 2004, when you had a couple choices, right? It was go to the big events, the big vendor-run mega conferences to learn, train, see what's coming down the pipeline, or nothing. It was either that or like go to the vendor site, maybe a blog or two, but it was a very stark and bleak environment. And today, the big boy conferences are still there. Some of them have gone the way of the dodo, but it's still an option. However, the cool part is that there's a lot of other options. We'll begin this show by talking about the big boy conferences, the ones we've gone to, our thoughts on those, the ones we want to go to, and plans for this year, I think. Does that sound fair, Ethan?
It sounds good. And we should also mention that Drew Conroy Murray is with us, who knows a bit about a lot of these conferences as well.
Hi, everybody. Yeah, I've been to a few conferences here and there.
Oh my gosh, he snuck in the door. I didn't see him. I was too busy.
Snuck up on Wall.
There was a yellow alert and some torpedoes. Absolutely. It's cool because Drew has the perspective of kind of, you've been the puppet master, right? Running some shows for a while.
I've been a show attendee and I was also, yes, the puppet master at Interop. So I do have a little bit of insight on what goes on behind the scenes.
Let's start there then. I'm going to Interop. I think we're all going to be there this year. For those that aren't familiar with the show, I'm going to tell it from my perspective, right? I've only been once prior. I'm going again this year. I very publicly stated that it is, if not my favorite large conference, it's very close to being the number one. The show is put together with a lot of independent perspectives. Most of the sessions are run by folks that obviously work at vendors. Not everybody can be a consultant that's independent. But take that hat off and talk about the industry as it relates to big data, storage, networking, a lot of different issues and challenges and solutions in that environment. Plus, there's a couple days of these really, really great workshops. Last year, I went to Matt Oswalt's workshop on Python and Jinja 2, and he spent half a day just blowing my mind. It was worth it just for that. This is a great show. I definitely recommend everyone going to it. What's your feelings, Ethan?
I've been involved in Interop for several years now, so I am biased. I've been a speaker. I've been an attendee. I've been a track chair or co-chair. This year, I'm co-chairing the Future of Networking Summit with Greg Farrow and Drew. So I've seen from the inside and then from the attendee perspective as well. And Interop is neat in that, yes, it's a huge conference in Vegas. I don't know, there's 13, 15,000 people that attend, something like that. There's these workshops on the front end you can pay extra to go to that have specialized sorts of content. And then there's 3 days, the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of the week, that there's a show floor that is open for most of that time where you can visit vendors and see what they've got going on. And they'll be happy to scan your badge and, you know, all of that stuff. But you can see new products on display. There's an Interop network that runs the conference, and you can see a lot of what goes on there. There's tours and people that'll talk to you about it. There's, of course, keynote speeches and so on. And you can really walk away with a lot of interesting and useful data, plus the opportunity to network with your fellow nerds. You know, you can talk to the person sitting next to you if you can overcome your introversion and say, hey, and introduce yourself. And then, you got any interesting projects going on at work that you can talk about, and then just see what's going on and what information you can glean. Interop is great for that. in a show that I like. I mean, again, I'm biased. I've been a speaker there. And so, of course, if I'm standing up and speaking, it's something that I believe in.
Although you're biased, but I can tell you from experience, no one likes to hear themselves. So you're not listening to your show afterwards. You're going to some other stuff too, right?
Exactly. I always go to other speakers' events, particularly people if I've had a chance to encourage them to come along and speak. I want to hear what they've got to say. And you mentioned Matt Oswalt and Russ White, Denise Fishburne. I'm just thinking of people off the top of my head who have come and spoken in recent years. David Meyer from Brocade, folks that I've personally known who are leaders in their fields or book authors or experts in whatever discipline, getting up on and speaking about a topic that's something I'm interested in hearing is great. It's rare and not cheapened by the fact that we have podcasts and all this stuff. Oh, you can hear anything anytime you want. It's different. You get someone focused for 60 minutes on something that they've spent a lot of time preparing and are delivering to you in a concise format. It's the ultimate drinking from the fire hose.
Not only that, you also get the opportunity, like you said, Ethan, to meet your peers and make some connections there, but you can also get to talk to folks like Ivan Pepelniak does workshops and sessions at Interop. And I've seen people wait after his talk or wait at lunch because they want to go up and even if they don't have a question, they just want to say hi because this is somebody they've been reading and hearing about for so long that you actually get to meet these people and see if they're real people, shake their hand and make a personal connection.
I followed behind him and cut some of his hair off to make a locket out of. So it was
that was you?
Yeah. Whoops. I shouldn't have said anything, but I think we've definitely covered. We're all very bullish on the value of Interop. Let's talk about some other conferences. I noticed we had on our list Cisco Live. I've only been once, and I was just there as the roaming reporter for Amy Lewis when she was working at Cisco. So I didn't really get the experience the way you do. And Ethan, do you want to talk about your experiences at Cisco Live? Do you recommend people going, not going? What's
the deal? Cisco Live is, of course, a vendor-specific show, right? It is primarily for people who are heavy Cisco users. And that happens to cover a huge number of people because they are so dominant in the marketplace. If you go to Cisco Live and you pay for the full ride so you can do everything that there is to do there, what you're getting is the ability to sit in classes, as many classes as you can handle, and listen to the very best and brightest from Cisco internal, some of their engineering people, and as well as Cisco partners and instructors who are absolutely expert, top-notch, deep dive, as deep as you can possibly go. They know every bit in the header, every knob you could possibly twiddle to make something happen. So if you're going to deploy a brand new Nexus-based data center and you don't have a lot of knowledge in that area or you really just want to beef up on some specific technologies, you go to Cisco Live, you sit in those classes and fill your brain. Again, the whole drinking from the fire hose experience, so much deep and detailed information from people. These are their specialties. This is the information that they know the best. Beyond that, at Cisco Live, you've got, I call it the frenemies floor. It's the floor where people who partner with Cisco for their products, network management people and server people and some storage people and, a lot of other people that spin off of the Cisco world with their own companies show up at the trade floor. I think they call it the world of solutions, if I remember right. And then you can visit and see all these other people that have interesting things that are going to make it easier to do IT in your environment. And then, of course, just like at Interop, there's the chance to network with other people. Cisco has a social media hub area where you can hang out with other people that are social, run into people who maybe you only knew them by their Twitter handle before and chat with them in MeetSpace. And then Cisco does some customer appreciation kind of stuff too at Cisco Live, where there's an after-hours customer appreciation event where they bus everybody to a big stadium and there'll be a rock concert or something like that. That's kind of a big deal and they spent a lot of money to make it happen, whatever it is. It's not some token thing. It's actually a really big deal, whatever the event is. And when you go to Cisco Live, and again, you've paid for the full ride, you get to attend all of those sorts of events.
Absolutely. So it sounds like there's a lot of great stuff there. Is it networking folks should go regardless of what vendor they're using kind of thing? Is it holistic kind of across networking or is it if I have Cisco, it's a more value to me than any other kind of product.
The way I see Cisco Live is that if you are a Cisco shop, that's the place to go. You learn a lot, but it is very Cisco-centric. If you're a network sure. that maybe has some Cisco and some other stuff, then I wouldn't go out of my way to go to Cisco Live. I suspect the value may be somewhat diminished for you. If you're more of a casual Cisco user, let's say, you can find a lot of the presentations that they teach at Cisco Live for free online. I believe it's CiscoLive365.com and download a lot of the presentations for free. It's different reading a presentation after the fact than sitting in a classroom with the instructor that's going at it full bore. But still, the slide decks tend to be huge. Dozens, if not over 100 slides with detailed information on them. There's a ton of information to glean in that way without ever attending the show at all.
I think we always have plans. Speaking from experience, we always have plans to go and watch those videos and stuff. It rarely ever happens. So it's good to have that plan. But if you didn't get to go, then it's a little bit different. When you're at the show, sometimes you're like, oh, I'll pass on this one session. Not a big deal. I'll watch it later. And I never do. If you didn't get to go to the show, though, I think as long as you can get access to the portal, maybe it's gated or after a little while, you can definitely feel like you went or at least hear about what was interesting at the show from a technical and presentation perspective.
EMC World is another huge vendor show that I haven't actually been to that one. Have you been to that one, Chris?
I haven't been to the EMC World show, but with it kind of blurring the lines, I suppose, with the Dell show being that they were acquired by Dell, I'm curious what's going to happen there. All the feedback that I hear is that if you're in the channel or you're really heavy into EMC, like you've got a lot of the products in their portfolio from storage to replication, et cetera, you can get some value out of it. But at the same time, it seems like it's kind of a big party event. So I've never really prioritize it in my schedule to go to Vegas to go, you know, get hammered and get crazy at EMC World. Drew, have you gone?
Yeah, I've been to EMC World a couple of times. And I think based on your description of Cisco Live, Ethan, it's similar. If you are an EMC user, then this is where you can go to get hands-on technical training and instruction. You also get, you know, the EMC download on their vision and their future, what's coming down the pipe. And they also have a solutions floor with partners. So if you know, you've got products that also interact or integrate with EMC, then they'll be there as well. So you can find out the whole spectrum of products and solutions that are all working together. And again, that networking ability to meet other folks that are storage-centric in your area, then it's a great conference. I'm curious to see what happens with the merger too, because there's also EMC World, there's Dell World, there's VMware. What happens to all these pieces?
I'm noticing a trend here. So Cisco Live for Cisco users. I was kind of hoping to hear that it was a little more bleed-off or spillage to non-vendor users. You know, maybe it's a little more agnostic to the ecosystem, but it sounds like Cisco Live, if you're really heavy into Cisco, you should go. EMC World, kind of the same thing. I've been to the HP Discover show for like 4 years in a row. And again, it was, if you're really into anything HP does, which was a little different than Cisco and EMC, right? Because HP does printers and laptops and mobile devices. And there would be people there that were in graphics design and video editing and things like that. And they were there to talk about the latest monitor that came out. So it was a very wide audience, right? Some people were not even technical at all. It was more about artistic and creative, interactive type folks. So it was an interesting show. I think it has a wider audience than the typical tech vendor show.
Now, I think all of us here have been to VMworld. I mean, Chris, you should lead off with that. I think that's kind of been your baby for the last few years.
Yeah, VMworld. I tell you, it's the show I love to hate and the show I hate to love. But it's gone through such a change. I started going in 2010, and it's morphed from this really nerdy kind of evangelistic type consumer model where everyone there was just really excited. They were very focused on one use case being, let's virtualize stuff. Let's build virtualized data centers. It was really focused on how do we do it and why do we do it and here's the tools. And it had a much narrower focus because VMware had a narrower focus. They were just about let's deploy hypervisors and virtualize. And now the show has just gotten so huge, so widely focused on everything. It's almost gotten a little less deep, but a lot more wide because they're covering end user compute and the mobile space and their version of cloud and cloud interconnect type technologies. And they even had last year a DevOps section in the hang space where, you know, you can kind of relax and chill and drink sodas and things like that. I have noticed, I'll be a little negative on it for a bit, that the show's sessions have really kind of disappointed me over the last couple of years. And I know all shows have kind of weak sauce sessions to some degree. Interop, I think, is the exclusion to that list for me. But it's really gotten so marketing heavy, so sales heavy. I really miss those really deep technical sessions that really tell you how to operate something or do something. So it's really, for me, become a show that I'm there to meet people, network, obviously promote the company I work for as a sponsor. Either I'm too technical or the show is not technical enough. I can't decide which it is.
So would you recommend that folks go to VMworld if they're deep into the VMware universe?
I think everyone should go once. It's a really cool show. It's very exciting. You get caught up in the kind of the emotion and the feeling of being around 20 plus thousand peers. I wouldn't make it a career show. I might go every other year or sample something else. I mean, that's something we're going to talk about today is that, yeah, I'll be at VMworld. I'm part of the sponsorship of the program, and I'm not trying to foo-foo on VMworld as a thing, but I'm trying to expand my horizons because VMware and virtualization is one silo in the full stack engineering kind of spectrum. And here on the Datanauts, we really focus on being multi-skilled and full stack engineer. So, you know, definitely go to learn virtualization, but don't discount storage and automation and PowerShell and scripting and whatever it is too. So I'm trying to expand my horizons. I'd say if you haven't been, go. And if you have been, make sure there's not something else that you want to go to as a priority, because a lot of us don't get to go to more than one show a year.
Mm-hmm.
On the security side, I think of the RSA show and Black Hat as the big security events. Drew, I think you've been to an RSA show, right?
Yeah, I've been to several RSA shows, although not recently. My perspective is that even though RSA is a security company and owned by EMC now, it's still a vendor neutral show. So it's not just about RSA products. You'll meet vendors across the spectrum there. So it's good to get sort of that broad based immersion into all of the security areas, cryptography, obviously, but also firewalls, antivirus, vulnerability detection, security analysis, SIMs, IDS, et cetera. The whole gamut of security is there. My perspective also, and this is just based on impressions between RSA and Black Hat, is that Black Hat, very technical, obviously, and with DEF CON, maybe a little bit more about the hacker shenanigans, whereas RSA feels a little bit more, I don't know if buttoned down is the right word, but just it's more about the content and more about the meet and greet, whereas Black Hat, to my perception, is we're going to show you some hardcore technical hacks and also maybe get up to some mischief.
Yeah.
Hacker shenanigans. I love it.
We were talking about offline that I would love to go to DEF CON or Black Hat, but I would have to go with just like a piece of paper, journal, and a pencil. I would not bring any electronics with me. I feel like even then, they would hack into something that I didn't know I had.
Right into your cerebral cortex. And I just want to say about Black Hat, it's not just about, you know, the hijinks and the shenanigans. They do take very extreme care to make sure that the content that they're bringing to the show is really cutting edge and really deep. So if you are in the security industry, then Black Hat is a place to be, because you are going to see some really fantastic stuff.
I love the photo where they showed the free USB charger. It was roaming around social media. Oh, charge your device here. And it was just literally sitting there as a hacking device, destroying people's phones or just showing that it could hack people's phones. I'm like, that's some nefarious stuff right there, man. I didn't even think of stuff like that. Like, you can't trust anything. You know, there's even fake machines there. It sounds fun, but I'm way too newbie. They would be like, oh, look at this poor little greenhorn. We're going to take advantage of him.
Here comes a full stack engineer. Let's get him.
He's missing the security side of his full stack.
He's not playing with a full stack.
Now, another big show that we wrote on the list here is Microsoft Ignite, but I don't think any of the three of us have actually been there, right?
I've been to, there used to be multiple shows. I've been to the live show that was focused on cloud, SharePoint, SQL. I actually did a presentation on virtualized networking with vSphere at a Microsoft show, which felt very gratifying. But the idea behind Ignite is that they're trying to combine all of the various shows together. And I don't know, it seems like Azure and other Microsoft products are really gaining a lot of speed in the market. So it's one that's on my list to try to go to. It feels like they're having some troubles figuring out conference at scale, right? They've done smaller ones. And last year, I remember, there wasn't enough food to go around. There wasn't enough drinks to go around. The lines were horrible. And it's in Chicago, which there's no shows at the McCormick Place in Chicago. So it sounds like they're trying to still figure out the show. It might be a wait and see for next year.
One that I have been interested in going to that's been kind of new is AWS reInvent. If this is the one I'm thinking of, Chris, this is the one that goes city to city. Nearest to me is New York City. And I've pondered hopping a commuter jet over to New York and attending that event to see what it's all about, since AWS, Amazon Web Services, is such a big deal now. It seems like it'd be worth it just to sit around, go listen to a lot of sessions and see what I could absorb.
That's actually Amazon's big show that they do once a year. And I think this year it's going to be in Las Vegas, which everybody loves Las Vegas because it was there last year too. And it's kind of one of those 4/5 day long, let's talk about everything AWS.
Okay, so there is something they brand that is regional as well. But I didn't realize there was also one great big reInvent. Got it. Vegas again. Everybody's in Vegas this year. All right.
Well, it's not McCormick Place in Chicago, and it's not Orlando, Florida. Whew. I don't mean to hate on people that are there, but the last time I was there, I needed to bring three times as many shirts as I needed, because summer in Orlando is like being in a bathing pool all day.
I hope the last time I was in Orlando is the last time I'm in Orlando. No great desire to go back for that reason.
Yeah, I'll say this in RSA's favor. That's usually in San Francisco at the Moscone Center, which is just a much better venue from my perspective. You get tired of the Las Vegas scene. At least I do.
I never get tired of Vegas. I don't understand why people complain about Vegas. It's it's a cheap, and not even for the debauchery, right? I don't even do that stuff. To me, it's cheap. It's got hotels out the wazoo. They're all relatively cheap. You know, when I go to Moscone Center, I stay in the shady McHotel Deluxe, you know, 5 or 6 blocks down the street.
With bloodstains on the carpet in the hallway.
Yeah, you know, check your handguns at the door. You know, it's like, what is going on over here? You know, the people are offering me drugs as I'm walking by, and homeless people are everywhere. It's depressing, and I'm paying $600 a night for this little 100-square-foot closet. At least Vegas just has ladies of the night and other, you know, activities that are within walls and not directly in my hotel, per se. So, and I'm only paying you $150 a night.
Las Vegas does have that going for it. I will concede that point.
Well, we talked about a lot of different shows, from Cisco Live and Interop to EMC World and HP Discover, all the way down to AWS reInvent and Microsoft Ignite. What shows are you going to this year? What shows are you going to stop going to? And what are your thoughts on these shows? Are we missing one that we should go to and talk about on the podcast? Let us know. Drop a comment in the blog post for this particular episode, or send us a mention on Twitter, datanauts_show, or just talk to EC Banks or at Chris Wall, and we'll add it to our list of things to do for this year.
Datanauts listeners, we're taking a quick break to tell you about a Packet Pushers public appearance. Ethan Banks, that's me, along with Greg Farrell, will be at the Aruba Atmosphere Conference at the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas on Tuesday and Wednesday, March 8th and 9th, 2016. What's Aruba Atmosphere? Well, they say it is the largest mobility conference on Earth. We'll be there to record several podcasts with Aruba subject matter experts and chat with fellow conference attendees. And hey, maybe that's you. If you're going to be at Atmosphere, we'd like to meet you, shake your hand, and hear about the IT projects that you're working on. During the conference, keep your eye on the @PacketPushers Twitter account, and we will let you know exactly where we'll be at and when. And if you can't make it to the conference, check out the podcast from Aruba Atmosphere that we'll publish into the weekly show and priority queue feeds. What about some small group meetings? And I bring these up because I've been to some of these recently, and I'm finding it's a whole different vibe and really valuable. You can still get a lot out of it, but you don't have to travel so far usually because it's a local kind of a thing. You meet some people that you might actually be able to stay in touch with from day to day, and you can still get good content out of them too. And I'll actually lead off with one. I'm helping to organize the BOSNOG, Boston Network Operators Group, which has just started meeting in Metro Boston area. We've met at the Microsoft Nerd Center, the New England Research and Development Center. Microsoft's allowed us to use a conference room up there. We've had a couple of sponsors come in and talk about their stuff. The last guy that spoke was Dave Husak from Plexi. He spoke for about a half an hour, kind of a high-level overview of his company, what he does, which is doing some really very different things in the world of networking. The man got 45 minutes of questions after he was done speaking from the crowd, just to get the level of nerdery. These people were diving deep and making him answer tough stuff. And then afterwards, we hung out for another half an hour, 45 minutes. They actually kicked us out. I think they said, guys, you got to give up the room. It's time to go. Okay, we got to leave. But just being able to chat with all these different people who were into networking, what they were doing, what their areas of expertise were, what problems they were facing. Hey, we're trying to implement VMware NSX and, you know, we're struggling with this, or, and so on. Just the after conversation was fabulous. I know there's a Chinog, a Chicago network operators group, and I know there's many others that are around. I've just happened to be aware of BOSNOG and Chinog because I've dealt with some of the folks that are working with those groups. What about you, Chris? You got some user groups or smaller groups you familiar with?
Sure. And I'll echo some of your sentiments there. I went to a Chicago Cisco users group based on an invitation. They actually asked me to come out and talk around VMware NSX and how it can play well with Cisco UCS and Cisco Nexus. And it was a similar experience. We're talking about smaller meetings, right? It was 25-ish people, something like that. I gave the presentation, maybe it was 20 minutes or so, but tons and tons of discussion. Lots of people that had practical experience and they had very specific questions. And I just felt like I was kind of moderating the questions to a degree and helping steer the conversation to make sure we weren't getting in the weeds, but it was a lot of open discussion and a lot less lecture. So I liked that. I thought the user group was good from the Cisco perspective. And I've done far too many to count VMware user groups, which are at a local level, at the small level. It can be anywhere from 10 to 100-ish people, something like that. And they're organized by volunteers, just like a lot of these other user groups.
VMware coordinates these VMUGs in some way, though, right?
At the local level, no. There's usually one, two, or three what's called a VMUG leader, and that's just a volunteer that takes over a particular territory or chapter. And they're on the hook largely to do the local level meetings, you know, where it's just kind of anyone that happens to be really nearby. It's usually after hours or in the afternoon or lunch or something like that. It's a smaller type of deal. And a lot of times it's run quarterly or a little more than that. At the larger conference level, that's where vMUG, which is actually its own kind of business, steps in, and VMware supports the vMUG at the conference level. But at the local level, it's a lot more about what the volunteer leaders want to do. And that's nice because they'll typically bring in someone to sponsor and a vendor to basically pay for everything and go marketing, marketing, marketing. And then the rest of it is a VMware person or a user that's having an issue or solving an issue to talk about it. And again, it's much smaller, but the cool thing is there's really no travel or cost to it. Like there's never an entrance fee from a travel perspective. It may be take a train or drive your car or take an Uber to get to it. It's typically within, you know, 10, 20 miles of wherever you live. And something you can just kind of do on an evening or an afternoon.
Yeah. And there's other informal meetups that are out there. If you go to meetup.com and start digging around looking for people who are involved in technology, there's all kinds of things. People who are Python enthusiasts, people that are coders, people that are users of various and sundry things that you might find in your data center. Just start poking around and seeing what you can find. You'd be surprised at what's out there.
Yeah, I just signed up for a Philly OpenStack meetup group. I'm curious to see what that's all about.
Yeah. I know that there's an Open Daylight users group up here. There's some other kind of network automation users group that's been going on up here. I've been carboned on some of those. I haven't made it to those meetings yet. I've just too many things to do. Sometimes you can just try an informal VBeers, not structured with people that are going to be delivering a presentation. Just, hey, if you're into tech and you just want to hang out and chat, we're all going to be meeting at thus and such a brewery at this time from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock and show up and introduce yourself. You know, we'll be over at the table in the corner. We'll be shooting pool or whatever it is and just do something like that. At least that's what I think of as VBeers. Chris, I think you wrote that down. Is there something more formal that you know of as VBeers?
Well, there is a VBeers website where you can kind of officially register it just to have it somewhere that people can get to, or you can use any of the event scheduling software pieces that are out there just to give people the ability to RSVP. And a takeaway from having run a few and participated in a few is the bigger venues work pretty awesome, like a Dave & Buster's or something with that kind of gaming / booze / a lot of open space is cool, because then you don't have to worry about, oh, the bar only holds 40 people total and 35 locals are there, so we can only cram 5 more people and we're all standing up in the corner together. You know, you want it to be comfortable. Plus, then there's some games and things you can do together to kind of bond, right? It's a little nerve-wracking to meet all sorts of new people all at once. The other piece of advice I would give, and things that worked well for VBeers, was having a core group that you know is going to be there. Maybe it's even just 2 or 3 people that you know, and you're planning to go there as a core group. You know each other. And then your goal is to meet one person each and introduce that to the core group. And now your core group is doubled, right? So if you went from 4 to 8... So it doesn't have to be this huge aspiration where I'm going to have 30 people show up and I know nobody. That can be very intimidating. You can start small and kind of grow out that core group and just keep phoning a friend in to come out and hang out.
B-Sides is another thing here that, Drew, you had mentioned this. I haven't made it to the B-Sides. It's one of those events that precedes VMworld, right? You're planning to go to VMworld, show up a little bit early, and you can do this B-Sides thing.
My understanding is B-Sides actually was spun out of Black Hat and DEF CON because there were so many submissions to speak at the two big shows, Black Hat and DEF CON, that they couldn't take anybody. So the folks who didn't make the main stage set up their own little quote-unquote B-sides, like, you know, those old records, the 45s that you'd flip over and play the B-side for our younger listeners. That's where this started. And then it's just kind of snowballed from there. And so now I think there's a Las Vegas B-sides, but there are B-sides popping up all over the place. And we'll have a link to their site in the show notes. But you can find B-sides all over the country. And it's, again, an opportunity to get a little bit more personal. It's not a huge show. It's not a big name speaker, but it's folks in your community. It's folks you can make a relationship with. So that smaller, more personal feel. And I think it is more security centric. Yeah.
Oh, no. I had only been exposed to B-sides because of its association with VMworld. That's when it happened to pop up in social. And I noticed it. I didn't know. You educated me. I didn't know it was this whole big thing.
Yeah, it's grown.
So we talked about a lot of local small groups, and maybe you've got a local small group that's tech-related, networking, data center, virtualization that you'd like to promote. We'll be happy to help you do that. Just send us an email, packetpushers@gmail.com. We'll get it there. Tweet at us, datanauts_show, and let us know what your event is, and we'll share it with the rest of the world.
Well, we've covered the big, we've covered the small, and kind of everything in between. Now I think it's time to talk about how we find shows and what shows we're looking forward to going to. because we definitely have to go. And I guess have to go sounds kind of humble brag. But there's a lot of shows that it's very much not really optional to go to, just to speaking requirements, events. I know, Ethan, you're this famous razzle-dazzle kind of guy that has to present a lot of content. This is kind of like work plus pleasure for you. So
it's a bit of that, yeah.
Absolutely. Business and pleasure. It's like a vodka martini shaken, not stirred. Before we go into what we're looking forward to and some new stuff this year, there's a pretty cool conference search engine. It's been around a while. I think they got bought by Eventbrite 2 or 3 years ago. But it's lanyrd.com, LANYRD.com. And this is essentially a conference search engine. They have thousands of events on here, big, small, everything in between. You can search by region, you can search by a tag, and you can make an account on there, and it'll kind of look at your network of folks that you know and interact with and people that were at the show with you and recap the end of the show to say, oh, you were at whatever show. Here's some other people that were there. Do you want to start following them and see what they're going to? It's a great way to find those hidden shows that are those little diamonds in the rough, right? Those things you didn't know about, didn't hear about, but you absolutely can't believe you never went to one. So I recommend making an account on there and keeping it populated with what you're going to and watching what other people are going to. I'm curious, Drew, what do you use? Like, what's your technique to find shows that are new to go to and explore?
Well, in some ways, I get to cheat a little bit because I've been a tech journalist for so long that a lot of the shows come to me through email invites. But I definitely keep an eye on Twitter to see what folks that I'm following are up to, maybe where they're speaking or a show they're helping to organize. So I think Twitter is my primary source for finding out where the buzz is and where folks are going.
Okay. So, I mean, that's also kind of a humble brag there, buddy. I mean, the show's come to me.
Was it humble or just a brag?
Knowing Drew, he's being humble. What, Ethan, how are you finding these shows? What are you looking forward to?
Well, let me talk about some of the stuff that I'm looking forward to. And the way I find about them, I guess, is sort of the same thing. Because I write a lot and podcast, I find myself with a lot of invites, people that want me to attend a show to cover certain things. Other way I hear about shows is through just the community, people I'm in chat groups with, Twitter, and they talk about various shows that they're going to that have been worthwhile and so on. So one that I have not gone to that I really have no excuse I need to go to is the North American Network Operators Group. I've heard about this from several people. Everybody tells me the content is great. Certain of my friends have presented at NANOG. And I just need to make an effort to get there. My word, there was a show in Montreal or a NANOG in Montreal not all that long ago. And that's only about 3.5 hour drive for me. There's no reason I couldn't have gone. I just didn't make it happen. Anyway, other shows around that I've either been to or I'm interested in going to, ONUG, the Open Networking User Group, will be held in 2016, both on the West Coast, once in Mountain View, and then on the East Coast, once in New York City. I'll probably try to hit the New York show in the fall. That's, you know, open networking user group, meaning people in the community and users who are doing open networking, kind of getting away from the, I build a Cisco network or I build a Juniper network, but doing things in a more open fashion, get together and talk about how things are working out for them. Cause it's always something interesting you can pull out of ONUG. ONS, the Open Networking Summit. I haven't been to that one, but I've been pretty interested. Drew, you've been to ONS, right?
Yeah, I went to an open networking summit. It was out in Santa Clara, and I found it really engaging because its focus was open networking. So there were a lot of vendor sponsors there, but the message more was about everybody's contributions to the community, how it's developing. There was a lot of talk about the Congress project there, I believe. Martin Casado was a speaker. So it was a nice mix of, you know, some sort of big names in the industry and then folks who were just very passionate about trying to drive the open side of networking forward. So if you are in the Valley or around that area, you know, San Francisco and South, I think it's worth your time.
The Open Daylight Summit is another West Coast show held in the Valley. That is all about the Open Daylight Controller project, and that's a huge ecosystem that's built around that. I went to the very first ODL Summit. I haven't been back since. I may go to another one in the future. It is hard to get out to the West Coast all the time if you're an East Coast person. But that was, again, 1,000 people were there, maybe something like that, and a lot of very technical presentations about ODL and the different projects that are inside of it. I remember sitting in on a presentation explaining how to do service chaining using Lisp. And it was deep in the weeds. I was keeping up as best I could, but it was a heavy presentation. There was some just solid, hard technical content in there. OPNFV, the Open Framework for Network Functions Virtualization. That's another one of these projects that's open source. It's interesting to telcos. I went to that summit in the fall. Again, about 1,000 people were there. Interesting. A lot of vendor folks, people from Europe, different telcos talking about the problems they were solving with OPNFV and how that worked. I would like to go back to that one again and see how the project progresses. PyCon is another one that's a little outside of the networking world that I've been so focused on here as I talk about these shows. But PyCon is a Python conference. I think it's usually held in Ohio. I don't know if they've moved it outside of Ohio, but it's regarded as, you know, the Python conference to go to. So if you like to code in Python, you can learn all kinds of tips and tricks and techniques. And there's content there from beginner all the way up to, you know, hardcore advanced dev kind of stuff from what I understand about it. I would like to go there. I've been dabbling in Python. I keep going back to it, writing a script here, trying this, working on that. And I'm basically a noob. I would think I could get a lot out of PyCon, see how the big boys do it kind of thing if I attended that event. And so that's very interesting to me. What about you, Chris?
I was just going to say PyCon has been on my radar just because I feel like 5 minutes with an expert who has years of experience, it just saves me mountains of headache. You know, they'll show me a little trick or a format, or I remember at Interop just learning about various ways to handle dictionaries in Python, and I was just thinking, I hadn't thought about that. You gave me a new tool. You know, it's really great stuff. So that one's definitely on my list that I would like to go to. Something that is also on my list that I plan to go to this year is the open source convention, OzCon, run by O'Reilly. So, and that's actually in my neighborhood in Austin, so it's a little easier to get to. But it just seemed like something really interesting. I think it's several thousand folks. The show seems to feature a wide variety of tech information, you know, best practices, what code languages are interesting today. You know, I'm a scripter with Python, but mostly PowerShell. So I feel like I'll just be a fly on the wall drinking from the fire hose and shaking with excitement. Another one I want to go to is the DevOps Enterprise Summit, or DOES. And I think that's usually in the Pacific Northwest, Seattle or Portland or something like that. That one always gets rave reviews because they actually have this great survey that goes out to, you know, all the various practitioners at large and medium-sized enterprise to talk about who's adopting DevOps practices, what's the efficiency takeaways, how much faster and better and cleaner are you able to build whatever it is your solution is. So I like those hard numbers that go with it. And I like the idea behind blending dev and ops. Obviously, we're on the Datanauts, right? We like busting silos any way we can. And then a new show that a gentleman named Enrico built, Tech Unplugged. It's featured in Austin and in London, I think, is coming up in May or so.
Oh, yeah. I talked to Enrico about that. He hit me up looking for someone to come speak in London. I think Greg Farrow is actually going to be speaking at a Tech Unplugged in London. And I told Enrico to hit me up again when he was back on this side of the Atlantic, and maybe I'd give it a shot. I've heard good things about Tech Unplugged.
That's nice because it's a lot of independent speakers with a little icing on the cake being some vendors there to, you know, pay for everything and provide some of their thoughts on their solutions and whatnot. And then DockerCon I would love to go to. However, I have a schedule conflict, can't make it. But that one just seems interesting. And they also have this really cool vibe, you know, around what they're doing. And I don't know, it just seems like an interesting show where you can learn a lot and people are okay with newbies because it's still such a newish technology that there's a lot of newbies out there. And it feels like they're really embracing anyone who wants to learn the technology. Even if you're going, you've never even touched Docker, I think that's okay. You know, some of these longer lived shows, it has almost this elitism to it where this is my 12th year going to the show, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, well, this is my first, sorry. I got into it more recently. You almost have this intimidation that I don't see at these younger shows where it's a lot more open to novices. So there we go. We've listed a bunch of different shows we've been to, haven't been to, want to go to, love them or leave them. There they are. And we love interacting with you. The whole point of putting this show on is to help you as the IT practitioner bust some silos and become an even more amazing person than you already are. So definitely leave a comment if you have any thoughts on what we've talked about today, or hit us up on the Twitters. But that's it for today's show of the Datanauts podcast. You can reach Ethan. He's at ecbanks on the Twitters, or his blog, ethancbanks.com. And I'm Chris Wall. I'm at Chris Wall on the Twitters, or my blog is wallnetwork.com. Drew, where can people find you on social media and your web presence there, buddy?
You can find my blog on packetpushers.net, and I'm on Twitter at drew_cm.
That wraps things up. For more superb Datanauts content, you know what to do. It's the grab walk. Just scuttle along over to packetpushers.net. And there's a beautiful, bountiful feast of podcast goodness there. Just gorge yourself. It's all free. It's all amazing. But until then, I hope your server lights continue to blink, your storage spindles spin, and your cables be cleanly managed. Where do the social nerds roam? Where do they roam, man? Are they pets or cattle? I'm killing myself here. It's just amazing. Okay.
We don't even need to be here. We just need
one man show. Let me get the giggles out. Hold on.